as they spoke, it reminded me of where we are. We're going through the book of Romans, and the first three chapters are brutal, man. The first three. I know last week Pastor Tammy did an amazing job. She really did. And if you didn't get the point of the message last week, it was about grace. I mean, some people think, it was a message of grace. Don't ever focus on the wrong thing. And so today, even though it's a difficult message, it's actually an awesome message. And that's, yesterday they were talking about the missionaries from Fiji. We're talking about the difficulty in reaching the Hindu population. But really in our day, people are difficult to reach also, even in our culture. And the reason is because people have a religious system. Now, they may not call it a religious system. Even the guy who says, well, I'm agnostic or I'm an atheist, that's still a religious system. And so you got to break through that. And so in Romans, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to a Jewish audience, as well as a Gentile audience in Rome. And they also have a religious system. And so he's breaking through that. And so sometimes people's religious system is a God made in their image. Not the true God that we read about in the scriptures, but a God in their image. In America, people like to invent a God that blesses their lifestyle. People like to invent a God that blesses whatever sin they want to be involved in. I call that a God in their image. He doesn't exist, right? Another one may be family tradition. You know, while my often as a pastor I hear, you know, my great-grandpa was a preacher. So somehow it's like I'm holding on to his coattails, and I think kind of that I'm in. I hope I'm in, you know. And so it's sometimes a family tradition. When I was a kid, we used to go to church. Whatever it might be, they're holding on to that. They're trusting that. Or it might even be performance. And the thing about performance, not it's only my performance, but I'm not, you know, when we think about performance, we're thinking, well, I'm not as bad. We will somehow measure ourselves to other people. I'm not as bad as that guy, so I think he'll let me in. And none of those work. And so the Apostle Paul is one of the things he's going to teach to the church in Rome is this, that the reason those things don't work is God looks at the heart. See, none of those outward things is what we will bank on. God looks at the heart. I can't bank on anything apart from what Jesus provides. And so when he's writing to the Jews trusted in their Jewish roots. You know, we're God's special people, and they are, but that doesn't bring you salvation. That doesn't bring you salvation. You know, it's almost like my dad. My dad used to talk, at the time, I'm like, my dad's weird, right? He used to talk about the florists. The florists don't do that. The florists don't, you know, the florists, I'm like, who are these people, right? What he was trying to do is set a bar. And I'm glad he did that because it kept me out of a lot of trouble, right? It kept me out of a lot of trouble. But now I understand. But the Jews, they were like, well, we're God's special people, so that's good enough. No, it's not. Or maybe they're, well, we were those that possess the law. We have the revelation of God, which is great, but with the revelation of God comes responsibility. It's the same thing. I think it was easier for me when I was ignorant of this. But once I got the revelation of God, life really got difficult. If no one's told you that the Christian life is difficult, then they've lied to you, frankly, because to obey the principles of this book, this holy book, is a challenging thing because it goes upstream, right? It goes counterculture. And so the Jews said, well, we got the revelation of God, never thinking about with that comes responsibility. Also, they were trusting in rituals, right? Different rituals. And one of the rituals we're going to talk about is circumcision. They're thinking because of where a circumcised people were in. And they didn't understand circumcision was really about the heart. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's get into Romans. And we're going to finish up with the second chapter today. I know Pastor Tammy talked about this last week, but I'm going to flesh it out a little bit more. Beginning with verse 25. Says, for circumcision is indeed profitable. Once again, he's talking to a Jewish audience. So he's talking a Jew to a Jew, right? For circumcision is indeed profitable or valuable if you keep the law. But here's the contrast. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. In other words, it doesn't do you any good. Hey, I could have just said, yeah, I'm a florist, but who cares, right? Who cares? And I can tell you a story about the time I gave a police officer a false name. And and when it was discovered, he brought me home to meet my what? My dad, the keeper of the floor's name. Not a good day. It was not a good day. Yeah. And really, that's what he's saying, man. He said, if you break the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Verse 26, therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? So once again, it's, he's saying it's not about just dotting your I's, crossing your T's. It's about relationship with God. Verse 27, and will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? In other words, even the guy that doesn't have the law, the non-Jew, I mean, could he, in a sense, really make you look bad because he's actually closer to God than you are who has the law? And that's always a you know, as a believer, you know, when I worked with other believers, I wanted to make sure they kept a high standard because I didn't want unbelievers to be living better than we are. That doesn't make sense. Right? We're to be a holy people. Our God is holy. And so I wanted to make sure that believers understood, man, we gotta watch one another. We gotta be there for one another. We gotta watch what we say. We gotta watch, you know, how we conduct ourselves. We can't be lazy. Because then they're gonna say, well, you know, so much for worshiping the God that you worship. You know, you're just a lazy guy, right? And so I wanted to make sure that around us we had a high standard. That's what he's talking about. Verse 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Right? So you can call yourself a florist too, but that didn't make you part of our family. Nor is circumcision that which is outwardly in the flesh. But he who is a Jew is one inwardly. Talking about relationship again. And circumcision is that of the what? Heart. We're going to talk about how the Jews miss that. And we sometimes miss it, right? It's the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So the Apostle Paul, when he's writing this, he's like, you know, I could identify with you guys because I also was the one that had the mark. I was also a people of the mark, right? And but he had no relationship with Jesus, right? We're talking pre-15 years before he writes this letter. So he was marked just like the other Jews, but he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He didn't have his sins forgiven, right? He hadn't been reconciled to God. So he's like, man, I'm circumcised just like you guys. But apart from Jesus, I have no hope. And then he makes what had to have been a shocking argument to the Jews, and that's this. And he must be thinking about maybe Acts 10 where Cornelius, who was a Gentile, right? He was a centurion. He's spoken of well, right? Here's a non-Jew who, they're like, you know, he's righteous man. Well, wait a minute, how... To a Jew, wait a minute, only the Jews are righteous, not the non-Jews, but here, and so the Apostle Paul makes his argument that, hey, here's this you know, the Gentiles may, in the judgment, fare better than you Jews, because you know what? They may actually have relationship with God. Whoa, you know? Wow. What an argument. And to the Jew, like, are you kidding me? Because only the Jews are in. And sometimes we get that way too. We get, I think, a little cocky. You know, I'm in, so screw everybody else, right? I'm in, forget everybody else, right? I mean, I've had that attitude before, right? Yeah. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. I was waiting for somebody to say, yeah, no, I've been there. See, a relationship with God, right? A relationship with God should really have obedience as part of that, right? There should be a motivation to obey God because he's changed our heart. That's why there's, you know, I look at the scriptures and Abraham is referred to as really a friend of God. You look at David, a man after God's own heart, and we read that like, oh, that's so awesome. But we live in a culture where we think relationship is about being befriended by somebody, right? Right? Oh, I got all these friends. No, you don't. Right? No, you don't. Probably count on one hand, maybe two true close friends, those that have your back, those will take a bullet for you, right? And that's what God is after. He's after relationship. Well, not people that quote verses of the Bible, right? Not people that have a Jesus sticker on their car, right? That's, well, maybe that's a good thing. That's not what he's after. He's after you. He's after your heart. He's after my heart. And so what really Paul's writing to the Jews is this, that the outside label, right, the outside mark must really match what's inside. And that's really the key. If you truly call yourself a follower of Jesus, then you must follow Jesus. Otherwise, those are two are in odds. So the really being a true Jew is a matter of a heart, not a matter of a mark. Amen? So I'm going to look at three different things fairly quickly this morning, and we're going to get to take communion. The first thing is, what is circumcision? What is circumcision? Well, once again, it says here, verse 25, for circumcision is indeed profitable of value if you keep the lifestyle of really wanting to keep the law. Well, circumcision, the word itself in the original language means cut around, right? And so there's a cutting of the flesh, removing of the flesh. So Jewish males that were born on 8 days, day eight, they were circumcised. And this was instituted back in Genesis 12. And the reason it was instituted is because God made a covenant with Abraham. And so he says, from here on, Abraham, I want you circumcised, and every male that is born on the eighth day, I want you to circumcise it to as a sign of this covenant agreement that I'm going to enter with you. And part of the covenant agreement is this: I'm going to make you a people. Remember, Abraham was old. Sarah, his wife, was old and beyond childbearing, but he says, here's the covenant. I'm going to make you a great nation. In other words, you're going to have descendants. And he says, I'm going to give you a sign that will remind you. So you're going to have descendants. So I'm going to give you kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. You're going to become a father of nations. So I'm going to expand your influence. And really, and then also, really out of you will come one who will bless the world. Talking about Messiah. Messiah will come out of him. So here's, God makes these promises. And he says, I want you to do, you know, circumcise your men, your male children, as a reminder, as a sign, so that one day they like, why are we circumcised? And then you could tell them why, right? You can tell them why. You can explain to them. And then later on in the Levitical law, in Leviticus 12, we see that really gets codified, as it were. And it was required then of the Jews. But it was always meant to symbolize that they are special to God. Right, that there's a special purity about them, a separation, and it was meant to be a reminder of the covenant that they made with God. It's always good to have a reminder of the covenant. And so the Apostle Paul says it's profitable. Now, if you're a Christian, you're like, does that apply to us today? Well, look what Galatians 5:6 says. For in Christ Jesus, and that's where you and I are, we're in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, right? Because you and I are a part of the what? New covenant, okay? But instead, what applies to us is faith working through love. So if you want to be circumcised, that's okay because, you know, I mean, but it would be basically a hygienic thing more than anything else. But with new covenant people, it's about faith, right? That's really what circumcision is to the Jews. Now, where did Israel get circumcision wrong? How did they get it wrong? If it was meant to be a sign of what God was planning to do, how did they kind of veer off? Because by the time the Apostle Paul comes on the scene, their view was this: if you got circumcised, you're in. Right? It doesn't matter how you live, you're circumcised, you're in. And the Apostle Paul, like, oh my gosh, you totally missed what this was all about. So I want to look at it and flesh it out a little bit. So Romans 2:25, for circumcision is indeed profitable, valuable, if you keep the law. In other words, you have a lifestyle of keeping the law. But if you're a breaker of the law, if you're not living, right, according to the covenant, then circumcision has begun, uncircumcision. You're wasting your time. See, and that's really the challenge to us believers, whatever ritual we might have, right, that we can lose the meaning of the ritual and then become external. See, we have certain rituals just like they do. We have covenants just like they do. See this ring? Why did we exchange this? Because we have a what covenant? A marriage covenant, right? Marriage covenant. And so if I say, yep, It shows that I'm married. That's it. And that's all it becomes to me. That this ring is just, it shows that I'm married. That's it. Then I miss the point. Because I covenant that I'm going to love her forever. See, that's the point. I'm like, you know, woman, leave me alone. What do you think, I am married to you? Yes. But the key is not the exchanging of the ring, right? Although we try to exchange valuable rings. That's just the beginning of the agreement. This just reminds me, wait a minute. I committed in front of witnesses to love this woman, to be faithful to her, to have her to be priority in my life for all of eternity. So the days that she is not in the best mood, watch it. I remind myself, wait a minute, I've got an agreement. So that's when I go before the Lord. I said, Lord, you got to help me love this woman that you gave me. Watch it. You know, when it's the other way around, she drops to her knees and goes, Lord, you got to help me. See, even we can sometimes lose our way and we forget what the sign was meant for. And the same thing with the Jews, they lost their way. They just thought, well, this is, you know, made us special. No, they forgot that because they're in covenant with God, there's expectations that God has of them. Same thing, she has an expectation that when she asks me to take the trash, I'm not going to throw a fit, or much of a fit. Right? I'm not going to throw a tantrum, much of a tantrum. You know, I mean, she has an expectation that I'm going to love her, part of the covenant. And so we see, even in the Old Testament, you know, Moses and Jeremiah pointing to the people that, guess what, this is really a hard thing. That if you lose the meaning of the ritual, it really becomes worthless. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 10:16. Moses really is talking to the people, and this is what he says, obviously in behalf of God. He says, circumcise your what? Hearts. There it was. It's not like they didn't understand this. Circumcise your hearts. Therefore, and do not be what? Stiff-necked anymore. You see, once again, he's telling them, you guys are already missing it. You're doing what you want to be. You're stiff-necked toward God. You're not listening to God. You're not obeying God. But then you think you're okay because you're a circumcised people. Lord, so you missed the point. You missed the point. And that's why I always want to, Lord, let me not be stiff-necked toward you, because I can get stiff-necked too. I can do whatever I want to do instead of obeying God. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's a scary place to be. We're all like, I know what God is saying, but I'm going to pretend. La, 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 la. I mean, anybody else besides me do that? Okay, good. Good. You're in the right church. Because I'm learning that too. You know, there's a part of me that doesn't want to listen to God. But you know, God doesn't miss the mark. You know that? God doesn't miss the mark. You know what he's saying. You know what he's saying. I remember when I first got saved, the girl I was dating, trying to get her into church, right? But you know, I'd pick her up, you know, and she'd still be, you know, kind of under the influence as a result of, you know, nighttime activity, right? And so I'd get her to church, and I'm thinking, you know, she's going to change. I know she's going to change, you know? And the Lord is cutting all kinds of stuff out of my life, and I clearly heard him that she's got to go. You know, and I'm like, oh, Lord, she's so beautiful, Lord. You know, she's, you know, you're arguing with God, even though you know she's bad for you. Because guess who's making me stumble all along? It's this girl. She's not interested in God. She really is. She wants me. And finally, guess what? I had to obey God. And he bought me a woman 10 times as more beautiful. Amen? Yes. Amen. Yes. Come on. That was at least worth 10,000 points. So the people are told, circumcise your hearts and do not be stiff-necked anymore. So really, we can even say the same thing for us. You know, as followers of Jesus, quit being stiff-necked. Just obey him. That's part of relationship. Just obey him. Right? I mean, that's what I've learned probably more than anything else in a relationship is to obey what she told me. I mean, I would see it. And even, I'm afraid to admit that there was stupid stuff that I fought about. You know how I mentioned about the trash? I'd like to say that I've never thrown a tantrum about the trash. But God's here. So I got to admit, I've argued about the stupidest, littlest request. That's called being stiff-necked. Right? Being stiff-necked. Am I less stiff-necked now? Good. Good answer. If not, I was going to get stiff-necked. That's the way men are, ladies, if you haven't figured this out. You got to know how to handle us, because you say the wrong thing, and all of a sudden we're, yeah, stiff-necked, yeah. So, ladies, you can tell your husband, quit being stiff-necked. I heard the pastor preach about that, you know. So, Deuteronomy 36, once again, Moses speaking to the people, it says, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. So he says the Holy Spirit's involved in this, right? And the heart of your descendants. To love the Lord with all your heart, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all, and that you may live. You know, they would say, commentators would say that really this is talking about a future time when the Lord was going to bring the Jews back to the homeland. And so, you know, they talk about the second coming of Jesus, but I believe it's now. And that's why you're seeing a lot of Jews convert to Jesus or have a relationship with Jesus. But once again, they had missed the point that it wasn't about the mark. See, and even in our day, we have it. I mean, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm just going to be out there, right? I mean, with me, I see people, and I know people that are not believers. Quite the contrary, they're not even believers, but they tattoo a verse on their body, right? Or even, you know, I saw just the other day. This is a female star, right? Singer, and you know, in many ways, she's against the church. She's against believers, and there she has tattooed a cross. I'm like, what? And then, you know, other people, they you know, tattoo verses when you're like, what? Why? It doesn't make sense to me, but it's no different than this. See, I think somewhere subconscious, they're thinking, well, you know, God will be pleased if I tattoo something concerning him on me. No, he wants the heart, right? You can tattoo verses from top to bottom and still not be right with God, right? It'd be better to type in both hands, it's about the heart, right? So as a reminder, oh, it's about the heart. Yeah. It says, otherwise circumcision has become uncircumcision. So with us, really, we just read circumcision is applied to us. But there's other rituals, like the ritual of baptism. Can baptism be unbaptism? I think so, right? You get baptized, you're saying publicly, the old me's dead. The old me's dead, been crucified with Christ. I'm leaving that old life behind. It's the new me. I'm a new creation. But what if then you just like, okay, I've been baptized. I'm just going to go live the way I want to live. And it's been registered in the church that I've been baptized. Now I'm going to go live the way I want to live. Well, you know what? You just wasted baptism. We should just, you know, scrub your ears while you were down there because you missed the point. You know, I'm glad that I understood when I got baptized, the old Carlos died. The old Carlos died. And you hear me say it this way, and it's kind of a little funny, but it's true. I say it this way. If the old Carlos owed you money, you're out of luck because he's dead, right? This is a new Carlos. He don't owe you nothing except to love you. That's even a greater debt, right? And then also communion is one of the other things. Communion is a symbol of what Jesus did and his promise to come back, right? So we have to take communion with the right heart. And I got to be honest with you, I know when I was a new believer, confession time, when I was a new believer, you know, I was, like I said, I got saved at 18, so it was probably when I was 18 or 19 when you're really hungry all the time. I'd be in church, I'm thinking, man, I can't wait till communion. Come hungry. Who wants to be honest? Raise your hand. You've thought, you know, okay, good, a few of you. I'm thinking, you know, I mean, you got to be pretty hungry when you're like, I'm going to get a little cracker. And I get you. Well, you know what? I realized, man, I just wasted that. I just wasted it because my heart wasn't in it. I was just thinking with this thing here, right? And so we, even in the rituals that we have, right? we make sure that our heart is right. Let me go on. Here's the third thing. What is circumcision of the heart? He goes on in verse 29, Romans 2. He's talking about the Jew. Who's the Jew? He's one who is inwardly. And the circumcision, he goes, really is about the heart. The marking should be, God should have a mark in your heart. In the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit does that. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing that. Not the letter of the law, right? The letter guides us, the letter cleanses us, but it's really the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that cleans me up. Whose praise is not from men, but from God. So really, to have a circumcised heart is really to have a heart that's pure, a heart that's single-minded toward God. We talked about, you know, with these lungs, right, that God has given us breath, and we're going to praise Him. To praise Him means to brag about Him, right? And somebody received a word that they said, you know, the Lord's saying, it's great that we praise Him here, but we're to praise Him all day long. We live as an expression of praise, right? We live an expression of praise. There must be something of the heart that is moved. If the heart is not moved, then is it really even praise? Now, I was listening to a preacher this morning, and what he said was awesome. And he kind of was talking about that, about people that say, oh, you know, I really love God. And he said, do you really? You know, I'm really, oh man, God just overwhelms me. Does He really? And this is what he said, that he was talking about how we kind of react when we see a famous person, right? If you saw a famous person, you're like, right? And you're like, you know, I hope I don't say anything stupid, right? When you go meet the famous person, I hope I don't say something stupid. And then you say what? Something stupid. You just go, you know, you tell them all your life story, you know, right? And you're just like, oh my gosh, that was so dumb. And you're telling yourself, shut up, shut up, shut up. And you're still talking. But he says, you know what? When you're so like moved by this person, if that person would have said, you know what? I like your shoes. You'd give him your shoes. I mean, because you're like, oh, you'd give him your shoes. You just would, right? Think about the most famous person you know, the person that you're like, man, I can't wait to, you'd give him your shoes. And yet he says, God asked us really for our shoes too. And do we give it to him? And the answer is sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. I want to encourage you that as part of your praise, you say, Lord, I'll give you me. I give you me, all of me, right? I may give this famous person my shoes, but they're stinky, right? But I give you me. That's what he's after. And the circumcision of heart is to be single-minded. You said, Lord, I live and breathe for you. I exist for you. Anything else comes secondary to you. Circumcision, once again, outer sign that they've been set apart. And you and I have to live in such a way that people know we've been set apart. You've heard me say that you should be able to be convicted pretty easily in court that you're a Christian, that you're a follower of Jesus. They should be able to convict you real easy. How? They just watch you. They just know you're different. At work, you know, people say, why don't you cuss? Why don't you cuss? Come on, follow Jesus, and we don't cuss. Why don't you drink? I'm a follower of Jesus. I just don't drink. I made a choice that I've drank enough. You know, read between the lines. And so people, you know, they could follow me and understand who I belong to. They could. Why do you go to church every Sunday? Because I'm a follower of Jesus. Wherever I go, we went to church when we were in Maui, right? On the beach, it was rough. Trade winds blowing, turtles watching us, you know, it's rough. So we're starring East River Maui next week. We talked about it. Yeah. See, God wanted a people, right? God wanted a people who would possess a heart to love Him. God wanted a people who would know Him, right? God wanted a people who would follow Him. See, the way I look at it is this. God wanted people who want to love Him, want to follow Him, not that they have to. So if you're not there, right now when I pray, I want you to say, Lord, cut away my heart. Circumcise my heart, Lord. There's stuff there that needs to be cut away. Whatever it is, tell the Lord, Lord, cut it away once and for all. Because I want to be free to follow you. I want to be remember what you did for me. And I want to praise you. I want to praise you for the day. I want to praise you for everything that comes my way, good and challenging. I'm going to praise you for that. Amen. Go ahead and just bow your head. And we're going to, while we get communion, get ready, I just want to lead you through just that little prayer. You can just put your hand on your heart, as it were. Once again, it's symbolic. Put your hand on your heart. And as I pray this, make it your prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to belong to you and you alone. I don't want to have a heart that is mixing loyalties. I don't want to be one who worships 450 million other false gods. I'm a follower of the one true God. So Holy Spirit, would you come right now and would you circumcise my heart and get rid of anything that gets in the way of that? That I would burn for only one, and that would be Yahweh, the Most High God. In the name of Jesus, amen, church. Amen, amen. God's going to